You know, it's an important thing when you go in and do a job somewhere that you do it right and you follow the rules to a T. Specifically, if you're an elected official and you're working as, the clerk of courts. When it comes to talking with a jury, maybe not try and influence them repeatedly throughout the course of a extremely high profile trial. That might not end well.
You know, Tony, can I interject something here?
Yeah.
I want to make sure that everybody understands the duties of a clerk, a court clerk.
Yeah.
Because I had to look it up. And
I've
got legal people in my family.
Yeah.
I really didn't know what it was. It is an officer of the court whose responsibilities include maintaining the records of a court. Another duty is to administer the oaths to the witnesses, jurors, and the grand jurors. So they basically keep things running smoothly in the court to make sure that everything is above board and done legally.
Yeah.
Okay. So I thought that would be an important thing to point out. So yeah.
Now that we have the definition, and I actually had to Google it myself because I was like, what exactly is their job? Certainly influencing a jury is not one of them.
No.
And that's where the problem lies in this. I think all of us, I was talking to Jennifer Coffendaffer yesterday on this, our jaws are on the ground. What we were expecting to see on Tuesday the 5th was the attorneys for Alec Murdaugh to give a press conference and request a retrial. And this is common. This is normal. This is, you're going to go for appeals no matter what. And we knew that that was going to happen. What we didn't know was their definition of the word bombshell. Because, you know, attorneys throw words like that out there all the time. Because you need to make it big. And I think a lot of us are like, well, maybe there's something. I don't know what, but I don't know. Are we going to have something of substance pointing to who these killers were, which I was kind of hoping for, if they actually had something, if they're going to say someone other than Alec did it, maybe they have some semblance of idea of who or how or where, considering none of that came out in the trial whatsoever. But no. Here's where it goes back to do your job right, because I believe they convicted a murderer. I think most people believe they convicted a murderer. But you know how that can all get fucked up? When you don't do your job right and you are in that cog system of the court and you're one of them, and suddenly you start deciding, I'm going to turn it this way and it should be going that way just for fun, just because I want to. Now you have the very, very real possibility that Alec Murdaugh will be going for a retrial. Something I think that was unfathomable just a few hours ago. Alec Murdaugh, the once reputed South Carolina lawyer recently convicted for the murders of his wife and son, is vying to have his conviction overturned as expected. New legal documents, however, submitted by his defense team suggest that there was jury tampering orchestrated by the clerk of court. And before I go into this any further, I want to say this. Whether or not you think he's guilty is sin or not, this should be, your considerations on this should lie completely outside of your feelings on Alec Murdaugh. This is a miscarriage of justice if this is actually what happened. Not to say that he's not guilty, but you can't have this happening to a jury, period, whether they're guilty or not.
Not in this country.
No.
In this country, we have rules in the court system that must be abided so that everybody receives the exact same trial, that they are innocent until proven guilty, and they are deemed a fair and speedy trial, everything like that. That's what this nation is built upon. So what she did, if she did it, holy crap.
And I never thought I'd be sticking up for Alec Murdaugh, but if this is true and what we're about to talk about is true, Alec Murdaugh deserves a new trial. Without a doubt. Murdaugh, who's 55, was handed two life sentences in March following the tragic 2021 killings of his wife, Maggie, 52, and son, Paul, who is 22. But the tale took a twist as his attorney swiftly filed an appeal against his convictions. At the heart of this appeal lies the accusation directed at Rebecca Hill, the Collinson County Clerk of Court. The defense attorneys Richard Hart Putalin and James Griffin have put forth allegations stating that Hill manipulated the jury. She's accused of casting doubt on Murdaugh's testimony, pressing them for a swift guilty verdict, and purportedly providing misleading details about the trial judge, especially when she aimed to dismiss a juror perceived as a sympathetic person to the defense. Digging deeper into the allegations, the defense attorneys assert that Hill's repeated references to Murdaugh were designed to paint him as guilty. They've also raised concerns about her motives. They claim Ms. Hill did these things to secure for herself a book deal and media appearances that would not happen in the event of a mistrial. She betrayed her oath of office for personal gains. The accusation gains traction given that Hill released a book titled Behind the Doors of Justice, The Murdaugh Murders, in late July. In Murdaugh's trial, the jury took less than 3 hours to pronounce him guilty for the heinous crime where he shot his wife and son at their South Carolina estate. Several jurors subsequently came forward to discuss the evidence that influenced their decision. Amy Williams, one of the jurors, mentioned on the Today Show the witness testimony was compelling and the kennel video was a pivotal piece of evidence. The video she referred to confirmed that Murdaugh was at the dog kennels when the murders took place, contradicting his prior claims. Another juror, Gwen Jennerite, shared her disbelief when Murdaugh took the stand. For her, hearing his voice confirmed that he was the person in the dog kennel footage, which tragically was filmed by his son Paul shortly before his death. The video played a significant role in the prosecution's strategy, given Murdaugh's initial denial of his presence at the crime scene. The gruesome details reveal that Paul was shot at close range, while Maggie faced multiple shots from an AR-style rifle, while a telling shot in the back. Amidst the overwhelming evidence, Murdaugh later confessed on the stand to lying about his whereabouts during the crime, expressing deep remorse. You recall, this was the big, crazy, turning bombshell in the middle of this trial that Alec finally said he was lying, that he was down there, but didn't kill his kids, or didn't kill his son or his wife. Which to most are like, then how the hell do you not know who did or what happened if you were there? You were so close, and these gunshots you would have heard if you were there. What the fuck happened? Yeah. Which we still don't know the answer to. Juror Craig Moyer recalled the deliberations on Good Morning America. He said initially 9 out of the 12 jury members were convinced of Murdaugh's guilt. Upon further analysis of the case's evidence, the remaining 3 jurors concurred, resulting in a unanimous guilty verdict. The decision is now being contested by Murdaugh's legal team. Reacting to the recent developments, Murdaugh's attorneys commented to People magazine, "The serious allegations in the petition filed today speak for themselves, but we believe they explain a number of peculiarities in this 6-week trial." They further reiterated Alex Murdaugh maintained and still does maintain his innocence in the murder of Maggie and Paul, and he believes the truth will ultimately prevail. Yeah, I don't even know what to make of it, but the allegations in this, when you look at the statements that were made and what some of these accusations are, it is it's very damning if to be true. And there will likely be a federal investigation into that elected official as well, because God knows what else had been tainted by this person, if in fact this is true.
Let me ask you a question. So we know that the Murdaugh family was very well entrenched in the legal field in this area. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows them. I imagine they were afraid to take them on in any way. This is my conspiracy theory, and I don't buy into these things, but let me just throw this out there. Is there any way that this is some sort of a setup to bring about a mistrial? That they are so deeply entrenched in the system that maybe she was tipped off that you should do something so that this ends up being a mistrial.
That's an interesting conspiracy theory. I have no idea. I don't even know what to say.
I don't either, but I thought of it like, isn't this just the perfect play?
Well, my other question is, how well did this person know Alec Murdaugh? I mean, or have a bad relationship with Alec Murdaugh if they're going out of their way to try and tilt a jury that already it looks pretty damning to give a guilty verdict? he worked in these courtrooms for his professional life. The likelihood that he did not know who this the clerk of court was is not very good. He likely knew who that was. And I would imagine has had some sort of interactions with her over the course of the years. But Alec has also screwed over a lot of people with his financial crimes, resulting in millions of dollars being stolen. And to put it lightly, people have a bad taste in their mouth for Alec Murdaugh in that part of the country where they, used to not. So I can see the passion that someone may have of like, let's really damn this guy. But at the same point, your fervor to do such, Miss Rebecca Hill, if in fact this is true, is likely going to give a shot of Alec Murdaugh being found not guilty of this crime. So I don't know. I the likelihood of him seeing freedom, slim to nil ever, because he has all the financial crimes and he's already admitted to in the murder trial that will be coming to light. There's 100 some charges against him. He's in his 50s. He's going to die in jail. Unless something happens there and that, I don't know, some sort of miracle takes place. This in itself seems to be a miracle on the behalf of Alec Murdaugh, in the murder trial. But I will say this, I watched the Fox Nation documentary the other day, where Buster had a chance to speak his part for the first time. And they do raise a lot. It's a very well-done documentary. I want to say that first off. And I'm not a huge fan of anything Fox. But I will say that it was done in a very middle-of-the-road way. They present a lot of arguments from defense. They present a lot of arguments from the prosecution in a very, I think, fair manner. And when you look at it with a little bit of time and distance, you know, the case against him strictly on the murder charges, kind of weak. Without, and here's where this is going to play. It's going to be very interesting to watch how this plays, because they did not want all the financial crimes introduced into this trial. It was Jim Griffin who fucked up. I forgot what he said, but he did something at some point, and that led the judge Newman to say, well, since you introduced it that way and the jury needs context, we're going to add all this in because you opened the floodgates for that when I was going to allow you to not. In a new trial, the financial crimes likely will not be part of it because it's a totally different case unless somehow it gets opened up to it by somebody screwing something up. But if you run the Alec Murdaugh trial through your mind and you take all the financial crimes out of it, all the bad acts out of it, you take all the damning things that show Alec Murdaugh as being an absolutely horrible human being, which he is, it's very difficult to completely paint him as a murderer. We never saw the weapons. There were no weapons ever to be found. In court, they did present weapons, which when you look back on, like, why? Why are they passing guns around the courtroom? Why was that even allowed? These were not the murder weapons. These were just guns that were legally owned in their home. It looked great on TV. It made people go, oh, holy shit, wow. But they weren't even the damn weapons that were used. They never found the weapons. There was a lot of randomness that seemed to be thrown out there that did influence a jury. And I think it was done, I guess, somewhat properly, but it doesn't paint the damning picture that it does when you add all of his other financial bad acts into it. Now, how the hell his wife and children or his wife and son were murdered if it wasn't him or did not have knowledge of it is beyond me. But it's also beyond me how the hell you fire off a shotgun, blow your son's brain out, and then fire at your wife at short distance and there's blood everywhere except on you.
Yeah.
And there's no weapon that's going to be found right there. And it takes a long time to clean that blood off. So for him to be standing there in a stark white T-shirt, the argument was made, well, did he go and change? Maybe.
That's it still would have been on his arms. It would have been on his face.
You would think. I mean, unless he had something covering him. But just moments before, he was down there at the dog kennel. And a little bit before that, they were playing with a tree that he planted improperly. I don't know. I mean, I think it deserves a look at. Horrible human being, deserves to spend the rest of his life in jail. Did he kill his family? Well, I guess
we'll find out.
In all reality, there may be another jury out on that one real soon.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.